starting with the baby.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we are glad that you have tuned to WMIE 91.5 FM today. So we are getting closer and closer. We are now probably, I haven't done the math, 18, 19 days out from the election. And I hope that you are praying for our country, that God would have mercy on us. A week ago in our Thursday morning prayer meeting, I was praying, God, don't give us what we deserve. Please don't give us what we deserve. Have mercy. Have mercy. And, you know, a nation that has turned its back on God, on God's word, doesn't want to have anything to do with God except for during a moment of crisis. God, please don't give us what we deserve, but have mercy and draw us back to you again. So I hope that you will be praying with us that God would do great and mighty things. So I want to take you today in the scriptures to Isaiah, the 44th chapter. Isaiah, the 44th chapter. I'm going to try and share with you as many points. There are like little bullet points today. I do want to remind you that our Refresh Brevard 2016 Holy Spirit emphasis meetings will be coming up next Wednesday, the 26th at 7 p.m. Friday night will be at 7 p.m. That'd be the 28th. Saturday night, the 29th, and then at 7 p.m. And then the 30th at 10:30 a.m. Bob Fisher, he's an anointed man of God, comes out of New Jersey and West Virginia, might be where he's living now, I don't remember, but he's been with us a number of times before, and I will tell you this, he came to us one Sunday when I was going through a real difficult season, and he spoke a word that encouraged me. So you might think that pastors don't have seasons that are personally challenging. It wasn't a church challenge. It was a personal challenge. And he spoke a refreshing word into my life. And just like we say on this broadcast, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So I'm praying that all of us will be touched and motivated by the Spirit of the living God, and that we will love more effectively than we have in a long, long time. Let's begin looking at Isaiah chapter 44, shall we? Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you? Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. So there's five verses there. Let's begin to talk about a few things that are mentioned here. First of all, I want to remind you, it says twice there in the first two verses that these people were God's chosen people. God chose you. Jesus chose you intentionally when he set aside his glory, departed from his throne, and came and took on human form, so that he could live among us, show us how to live, so that he could die for our sins and be raised from the dead and ascend to the right hand of the Father. He did all of that because he chose you. He chose me. So please today, as you're getting ready to go into this weekend, do not go into it feeling as if you have been rejected, if you've been cast aside, because you have been chosen by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be a recipient of his love. Second, it says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Jesus said that in John chapter 4, that if we partook of just earthly water, that we would thirst over and over and over again. But if we would ask him, he would give to us living water. In verse number 14 of John chapter 4, it says, but whoever drinks of this water that I give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And so God says, I am going to pour water on him who is thirsty. It is to quench the thirst that we have. Only God can satisfy. Only God can satisfy. And this is not going to happen by accident. It's not going to be a blindside. It is going to be something with a direct cause that stems from God. He intentionally will satisfy your thirst. I remember a story a friend of mine told about an evangelist that we had. That evangelist is now pastoring a church in Alabama. And he had been to a church I'd been on staff at before, and they'd done some ministry down on the beach, and this evangelist saw a van with its windows down, and he just kind of, I mean, he's got a very outgoing personality. His personality is entirely different than mine. And he poked his head into this van, and there was a person back there, and they were doing, now this goes back 25 years ago, this person is doing some drugs in the vehicle. And he says, hey man, what's going on? And he said, I'm just chasing my dragon, man. I'm just chasing my dragon. And I said, you're going to have to help me. I don't understand what that means. And evidently that is a reference to a person who gets high, that the first time that they get high, it is a very exhilarating experience. And from that point on, they are trying to duplicate the experience that they had had before. Now, if that's not that was the way it was presented to me. I've never done drugs, so if that's not an accurate reflection, please forgive me. I'm just taking that from people who have been down that road. And what it is they create a thirst or an appetite for things that they shouldn't be partaking of. But God says the only thing that will really satisfy your thirst, it's not alcohol, it's not drugs, it's not sex, it's not power, it's not money, it's not fame, it's not Super Bowl trophies or championship trophies. It's not having that career. It's not having this car, this house. It's none of those things. The only thing that satisfies is God. I remember hearing a person who has reached a pinnacle in their sport. They've achieved the greatest award, and the first time they ever achieved it, immediately after the game was over, they were already talking about trying to duplicate it again next year. And what it was is, you should be able to enjoy your time on the top of the mountain, but instead once you get there, you find that it's been like chasing a rainbow, that even though you think you can see where the end of the rainbow is, and you think there's going to be a pot of gold there, that it just keeps moving like a carrot on a stick in front of a mule, that it just stays out of reach. You see, the devil never intends to satisfy your thirst. He just intends to entice you with it. The second thing that it says, and floods on the dry ground. This speaks of a satisfaction or a quenching or an ending of famine. It's not just satisfying the thirst of an individual, but satisfying the thirst of a land. Our prayer at Merit Assembly of God is this, that America would once again realize that it is not a particular person that is going to satisfy the longings that we have in this country anymore. It is only going to be satisfied. Our land is only going to be transformed and fruitful once again if we turn to God. So I want to ask you today, are you ready to cry out? Are there any Elijahs out there that are ready to come and say, God, would you show yourself to this nation that you are the God of this nation? Not money, not any idol, not another deity, but you and you alone are what will satisfy this land. You see, what the Bible declares is that a land cries out to God. Creation groans. It yearns for the lordship of Jesus Christ. It yearns for his authority and his care, his tender, loving care. God satisfies. You see, in Jeremiah chapter 18, it talks about the potter and the clay and how the potter takes special care to make sure that it has just the right internal and external pressure. It has just the right spin rate. It has just the right touch. It has just the right hydration level, that it is positioned correctly, that it is formed correctly, that it is made out of the right materials, and that it is processed correctly, because he wants it to be a masterpiece. And so God, when he is enthroned in a land, he satisfies it. Number three, or the fourth point that I want to share with you today, is it says, I will pour my spirit on your descendants. I will pour my spirit on your descendants. Now, I want to show you that word, I will. It's something that shows up a number of times there. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour my spirit on your descendants. I want you to know that when God says he will do something, that it is beneficial for his chosen people. Even when he corrects us, it is beneficial for us. When you correct your children, it is not to make you feel better. It is to change or correct behavior. America has been behaving badly. America has not been paying attention to the Word of God or to the God of his Word. But I want you to know that God wants to pour out his Spirit, and he wants to pour it out upon you, and he wants to pour it out on your descendants. Don't you want your children to grow up knowing the goodness of God? You might be listening, and in parenting days, you no longer have those little children that you can raise, but you've got grandchildren that you can be praying over. I've got a friend who posts some video from time to time of her grandchild. I believe it's a grandchild. I don't think it's great-grandchildren level yet. Little bitty young lady, and shows her praying and worshiping the Lord, and right there beside grandma. And so I want to encourage you that God wants to touch your kids by his Spirit. Now, make no mistake about it. The devil's not going to ask you permission for him to touch your children. He's just going to try and do it. He's going to try and do it with bitterness, with anger, with deception. He's going to try and do it with temptation and poor guidance and poor decisions and poor friends. He's going to pour everything that he's got to have detrimental spiritual input into the lives of your kids and your grandchildren. Don't you want the Spirit of the living God residing in them, empowering them to overcome and be victorious over every temptation? I know that I do. So this weekend, when we're at church, we're going to be praying and believing for an encounter with God the Holy Spirit. on Wednesday, on Friday, on Saturday, and Sunday morning, we are going to be praying for an encounter with the Holy Spirit. That it will not be a drip. It will not be a rationed portion, but instead it would be an outpouring that we do not have room enough to contain. A couple of weeks ago, and in fact, it was Tuesday before Hurricane Matthew came in. I wasn't outside for a couple of hours, and I came back out, and I don't know what had happened, but the heavens had opened up, and there was water around Merritt Island in places I had never seen water, and retention ponds that were already at capacity. And it was at that point in time, the storm was still 2.5 days away. And it's like, wow, if we're getting this much rain and the storm hasn't even arrived yet, we're going to be really, really wet. I pray that right now that God, by His Spirit, would reach a new high water mark in your life and my life. It says, "And my blessing on your offspring." Okay, point number five, my blessing on your offspring. I want my kids, I want my grandkids to be blessed. I want the people of Merritt Assembly of God to be blessed. I want them to be blessed coming in and blessed going out. I want them to be blessed when they're in their house and blessed when they're at work. I want them blessed in their body. I want them blessed in their spirit. I want them blessed in their finances. I want them blessed in their relationships, in their marriages. I want them blessed with soundness of mind. Okay. I want them to be happy. Asher is one of the sons of Jacob, and his name means happy or blessed. And I want the joy of the Lord to be prevalent. I like good jokes, there are some pretty funny ones that come out. There's a story of a man. He ended up in the woods and a bear started chasing him, and the man started crying out and said, "God, I know I haven't lived the way that I should, but I'm just going to ask you right now, would you turn this bear into a Christian?" And he turns around, and just as he turns around, the bear stops and kneels on the ground and puts his paws together and begins to pray and says, "Dear Lord, thank you for this food that we are getting ready to partake of." Now, I actually, my sister actually has trained her dog on to go through the motions of praying before she eats, and it's really, really kind of cute. She has her paws. She puts her paws over her eyes and holds her head down until my sister says, "Amen." She won't eat of the food until they have prayed and expressed gratitude for the food. I want my kids to know the bounty and the blessing that comes from knowing God. The next point, they will spring up among like grass, like willows by the watercourse. What's going to happen is they are going to grow. They are going to grow. Someone told me that if you are traumatized in your life, that what happens is even though you don't stop aging, you continue to get older. Many people stop maturing at the age in which they were traumatized. They just get stuck right there. And so if something negative, something traumatic happened at 15, they could be 60 years old, and yet they're still stuck on a 15-year-old's emotional level. And I'm not talking about people who have psychological or physiological reasons for doing that. I'm just talking about they just stop growing. How many times do we have to go through the same cycle before we realize that it is time for us to grow? If you look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, It says this for in verse number 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." What Paul is saying is it's time for us to grow up. He said, by this time, there's enough that has been poured into you that you ought to be teaching, and yet you are regressing to the point where you need to be taught the elementary principles all over again. Okay? God wants us to grow. I want my kids to grow. I want them to grow in areas that I haven't grown in sufficiently. I want them to excel. I want them to overachieve what I have achieved. Okay? I know that there are things called trust fund babies where they have arisen, where the parents or grandparents did so well financially that it destroys a work ethic in the generations to come after them. In the spirit realm, I'm praying that I don't create a trust fund generation, but I create a foundation which they can build an even higher structure on. God wants us to grow. Number 7, it says, one will say, "I am the Lord's." Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, "The Lord's," and name himself by the name of Israel. And what it says is that when God begins to pour out his spirit and growth begins to take place, that all of a sudden people are going to understand their identity. We live in a time where people identify themselves by their heritage. They identify themselves by their gender. They identify themselves by their profession. They identify themselves by a multitude of different things. And God says, when I begin to pour out my spirit, people are going to identify themselves, not by any of those other labels. They're going to identify themselves as the fact that they belong to me and that I am their father and their provider, that they belong to me. And so I encourage you today, if you do not know that you belong to Jesus Christ, it will change the way that you act. I heard a story of a evangelist. I heard this story while I was at this particular college, and he had a grown son, and his son was trying to make it without the help of the father. And he was married, he had kids, and he went down to the bank to try and borrow some money. And they turned him down, and he said, "Please, you know, this was back before online stuff, and you went down and you talked to a loan officer." Very intimidating process, by the way. I remember having to do that to when I was getting student loans to go to school. And they said, "Well, I've got a second job as well." And they said, "I'm sorry, you still don't qualify. My wife has a job. I'm sorry, you still don't qualify. She's got a second job. I'm sorry, you still don't qualify." And finally he said, "Would it make any difference if I told you that I am the son of," and he named this particular individual. And the loan officer stopped and he said, "Wait a minute, you're telling me that so-and-so is your father?" A very famous evangelist. And he said, "Yes, he is my father." And he walked out of there that day receiving the finances that he came requesting, not because of how many jobs he had, not because of the desperation of his need, but because he finally came to the place that he said, I am my Father's son. And I pray today that as you go out this weekend, that you will know that you belong to God, and it won't be something that you're ashamed of. It won't be something that you try and hide or rebel against, but instead it will be a reality that you embrace. It will be a reality that you will declare with your mouth, that you will write with your hands, and you will proudly identify with the body of Christ as the redeemed of the Lord. The eighth one, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? The first thing that I want to point out here, so this would be the eighth one, is I am the first and I am the last. That takes you right to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, where Jesus says, I am the first and I am the last. God goes on and he says, besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? I want to ask you, as you prepare your agenda for this weekend, who are you going to have speak into your life? Is it going to be the television commentators announcing the football games or the baseball games? You could have preseason basketball, and I guess hockey's already started. You could have them. You could have the bad news media speaking into your life. You could have politicians speaking into your life. Or you can have God speak into your life. I want to ask you this. If you choose any of those other sources, can they proclaim, can they declare the way that God declares? Can they speak life into your existence and change your reality the way that God can? One of the things that I loved about the original NIV was it said that when Jesus spoke, that the people hung on his every word. They were sitting there with rapt attention. They were captivated and saying, no one ever spoke the way that Jesus does. Whatever you're going through, I know this, God wants to speak into your life. Whether you're going through good times or challenges, no one can strengthen you with his word. No one can correct you with his word the way that God can. Let's allow God to proclaim into our life. Amen. I pray that we'll see you at church on Sunday, or if not at ours, that you will be in the house of God someplace and God will speak to you. See you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away and purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my one thing? You're my one thing.